Thanks.
Sorry, I have this head mic actually, so sorry to fill you in on that. I was thinking about saying something and I was like, you know, let me just let it be. And then I probably should have said something earlier. Sorry about that, Joel. But thank you guys so much for that special music. Wasn't that a blessing? Wasn't that amazing? I could actually just go home right now and, well, we shouldn't go home. We should go upstairs for lunch after this. But I could just say, let's go upstairs for lunch right now because it's just been such a blessing so far in this service. And I'm really excited to have been here and to have been blessed by the music and by everything else that's happened, just the prayer and testimony times. It's really exciting, actually, because of this church. Our prayer and testimony time is growing. Have you all noticed that? Have been here for a little bit? The prayer and testimony time that we have when we share testimony for the week has been growing in length. But it's exciting because I feel like there's been more and more testimonies that have been happening. Have you all noticed that? I've been here for maybe like 6 or 7, 8 months, a year. I've just seen it grow in length, which is great because now we're starting the sermon time at 12:05. You know, I remember before, sometimes I started 11:40 or something. And so I feel like there's just a lot of testimonies that are happening, which is amazing. And so as a result, I'm going to try to go a little bit shorter today so that way we can start lunch earlier and we can be ready and excited to go out into the community for those of you that are going to be joining us. But before I get started, if all of you can join me one more time in a word of prayer, and we'll start after that. So let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I just ask that you send your Holy Spirit right now to us, Father, in a special way that you might embed your word into our hearts, Father, that the words that we read, the words that we study, Father, the words that we hear, that they might be from you and that they might go into our heart, they might penetrate it, and they might change us from the inside out, Father, so that our desires change, that our actions change, that our thoughts change, that our words change, Father, and that we might be like Christ. And start first and foremost with myself, Father. Please cleanse me from self, Father, from any unrighteousness, Father, as I get ready to share your word. And might these words be directly coming down from your throne, Father, with power and with might. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. All right. So I'm excited about this church. It's 2018. And Michelle, where's Michelle at? Is Michelle with the kids? I think Michelle's with the kids in the back. But Michelle said it. She said what I was thinking. It's exciting to see the growth that's happening in this church. Now, some of you, like Jasmine's here for the first time, she might be thinking, growth, you know, there's not that many people here, right? But it actually has been growing quite a bit over the last year. And so, believe it or not, and so a lot of us have just seen that have been here for a little bit. And some of us have been here for a while. I know, Bud, how long have you been here again? You've been here, I think you were the longest from what I remember. 75 years. So beat that. Beat that. So Bud's seen a lot of things in this church, and I think he can testify also that God's been doing something here in this church recently. Amen? And so we're really excited to see what's been happening. And what I'm excited about is as 2018 is here, I really believe that God is going to continue to grow this church, and he's going to continue to use all of us here to do a great and exciting and mighty thing. Now, one of the things that helps whether you are in school or whether you are in business or if you have a job or if you have a family or if you're human, let's say, is to have goals, right? To have goals. How many of you have ever had any goals that you've set? Or how many of you have set any goals for 2018? Okay, well, maybe you can shout them out, if, you know, one at a time in an orderly way, of course. But anybody want to share your goal that you set for 2018? Yeah, Lenore.
I will be a certified medical coder.
Oh, that sounds great. So a certified medical?
Coder and biller.
Coder and biller. Ooh, okay. So hopefully you won't be sending me a bill. Hopefully I'll be healthy and I won't have to be billed by you. But if so, at least Lenore is sending your bill. That's great. Praise God. Anybody else have a goal that they want to share that they set for 2018? Any goal, or just in general, a goal that you have?
Start
your clothing line. Yeah, Jasmine's starting a new clothing line, so we'll hear more about that. And that's one of the goals that she has. Any other goals? One last goal.
Just to be very disciplined, to achieve discipline in pretty much every area.
Awesome, awesome. So DeLon's goal, to be very disciplined, right? So we have this goal, these goals, right? We have these goals, and a lot of us have different goals. Now, as a church here in Alameda, what is our goal here, right? What is our goal here? Where are we trying to go here as a church, and then how are we going to get there, okay? And so I already believe that we are on the path to the goal. I actually believe that things have been happening here that have been laying the foundation and even growing the foundation now toward the goal. But let's look at the goal. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. It's almost toward the end of your Bible if you open it up, but you'll see Acts chapter 2. And we're going to take a look at the goal. This is the goal, I believe, of our church here at Alameda, and also other churches as well. But this is one of the goals that I believe God has for us here. Then we're going to actually start looking at the different steps on how we might get there. Okay, let's look at this. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start looking at verse 42. Now, this is right after Peter had preached a sermon. 3,000 souls were added to the church, and they're just getting started now as really the first Christian church as we know it in the history of the world. That's what we're looking at right here. Look at what they were doing. Verse 42, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved." Now, how many of you would like to see this church just embody that on a daily basis? Anybody here? Okay, great. And so I'm just assuming those that didn't raise their hand are just busy doing something else. I'm sure everybody wants to see that, right? And so this is what God's ideal church looks like. And what are the components here, right? So we see that they were in the apostles' doctrine daily, or they were essentially studying their word, studying their Bibles regularly. They were fellowshipping, breaking bread. They were praying. They were with one another. They were going house to house. They were in the church on a daily basis. And they were giving one to another their possessions as people had need. And then you see all these things were happening. And then at the very end, in verse 47, at the very end, what happened as a result of all these things at the very end? Do you all see it? What does it say? "And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved." So in other words, all these things were happening, and then God kept bringing more and more people to the church. The church kept growing in number and in souls and in salvation. And this perpetuated itself. So ideally, this is where we want our church to be. This is where most churches should want themselves to be. And the question really is not that so much, but how do we get there, right? So for 2018, let's say if this is a goal, how do we get there, right? So we can actually start peeling back the layers of the onion and see how all of these people got there, okay? How did these people all get there? So let's just start going a little bit backwards in the book of Acts, and we can actually see how they started to get there. So let's go to Acts chapter 2 at the very beginning. And I believe that these kind of steps that we're going to be looking at are the same types of steps that we can go through as a church here. And I actually believe that we're already going through a lot of these steps. And I already see these fruits. And so I think as we continue to do that, we can continue to see God doing amazing things. So we're looking at Acts chapter 2 now. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. All right, the first few verses. Let's look at this. So in chapter 2, verse 1, let's look at what happened before this explosion of the new church happened. Let's look at what happened right before that. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as fire, and it sat upon them." And verse 4 is key. They were filled with what? The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. "And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So in other words, they were together, and then all of a sudden, at this time, what happened before the church exploded? What happened before all these new people came in the church and there were baptisms and all these great things? What actually happened right before that? The Holy Spirit, right? You see that? So the Holy Spirit came down, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to have all these gifts of the Spirit that started to spill out. So the Holy Spirit right here, we see it precedes all these great and mighty things that happen. That's what we see here in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit precedes these things. Can everyone see that? If you see it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, great. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to see something very similar. So Acts chapter 4 is also going to give us a blueprint or a goal for what a church ideally will look like. And let's actually see here, because it's going to tie these things together. We're going to see a little bit more here. Acts chapter 4, follow me in verse 31. Watch this. The Bible says, and this is talking about the early church now, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power they gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So you see all these amazing things again happening, right? God's grace is upon them. And they were sharing all of their things as people had need. They had one heart and they had one soul. And again, what preceded that? What preceded that? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Ghost came down upon them, right? So the Holy Ghost's involvement, the Holy Spirit's involvement, collectively, is so important and is extremely foundational to any type of preaching going forth with boldness, to any type of ministry that takes place in the communities, or even amongst ourselves, to a spirit of unselfishness and a spirit of giving. These things are all preceded by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost coming down. Now, according to this right here, and we'll look at one other part in Acts, what happened before the Holy Ghost came? Can anyone see that in verse 31? What does it say happened before the Holy Ghost came down? They prayed, right? And then what else happened? They prayed and they assembled together, right? So it almost sounds like a prayer meeting of sorts, doesn't it? They prayed and they assembled together. We also saw that in Acts chapter 2 at the very beginning. I don't know if you caught that, but it actually said, we already read this, but it says they were with one accord in one place, right? They were with one accord in one place. That's actually what we see happened before the Holy Spirit came down. Turn with me also to Acts chapter 1. So we're going to look at some of these passages in Acts really quickly, and then we're going to put them together, and then we're going to see how these things work together. Acts chapter 1, we're just turning a few pages here and there in the book of Acts. We're looking at chapter 1, verse 13. If you're there, say amen. All right. So look at this. Again, this is the preceding happenings before the Holy Spirit came down. Look at verse 13. And then when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas, etc. were there. So these are the apostles. These are the disciples of Christ. Verse 14, they all continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication. What's supplication? Or what are your other verses say?
Requests,
right? So they're bringing their requests before God, prayer, etc. With women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren, right? So again, we see that there is this assembling together. There's this praying. There's this requesting of God to send the Holy Spirit down in a great and mighty way. And then it comes down. And after it comes down, what happens? They get filled with the Spirit. They start preaching with boldness. They start sharing the gospel naturally, automatically. They start sharing with one another. They start giving to one another. They start spending more time in the Word and in prayer. They start spending more time with each other in fellowship and breaking of bread. And all of these things start to lead to a growing of the church. Can everyone see that? So that's essentially the pattern that we see in the book of Acts. And if you go back before this, Jesus actually commissions this pattern. Jesus actually commissions this event. So let's take a look at it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, Andrew read this for the scripture. I'm going to read it again. Verse 8 says this. Jesus is talking right now. And this is literally the last words that we have of Jesus before he ascends to heaven. These words are the last words that we have from Jesus before he ascends to heaven. Look at what he says. In verse 8, he says, but you will receive power, and after that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you'll be witnesses for me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Can everyone see that? So what we again have here, Jesus is commissioning this. Jesus is saying, this is how it's going to go down. You're going to receive power and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And then as a result of that, you're going to be witnesses for me here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, can you also see the pattern that Jesus is giving when he's giving these different cities? What is the pattern? Is it something like you're going to go continent by continent? Or what is the pattern that he's giving here with these four names? Say it again.
Start home, work out.
Yeah. Start home, work out. Okay. So not homework, but essentially you're starting with the people that are closest to you in your neighborhood, in your city. For them, it was Jerusalem. These are the people that were their friends, their families, their colleagues, etc. And then they started working out and out and out. And we see that also in the book of Acts. So for us here in Alameda, how would that be relevant? It would be like starting here in Alameda, starting with our friends and family, etc. Things like this. So that's the pattern that Jesus gives And then in the Great Commission, he actually tells us in the book of Matthew to go into all the world and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Father, and teaching them to observe all these things that I have taught you. So this is the pattern, right? So as Christians here at this church, we obviously want to share with others. We want our church to be a model of what God wants it to be. And often, if you're anything like me, you'll try to just do it. You see what I'm saying? You'll try, okay, let's go out now. Let's start talking to people. Or let's go out now. Let's do these things. But sometimes, have you guys ever tried to do something good, but at the same time, deep down in your soul, you don't really care to do that good thing? In other words, you know that you should eat broccoli, but deep down inside, you just want a piece of chocolate. Has anyone ever experienced that? Experience whether it's something you're eating or whether it's something you're doing or anything like that. And so you're like, ah, man, I don't want to eat this broccoli. I don't really want to eat it. It doesn't taste good. I'd rather eat this chocolate. But I'll just eat the broccoli. And so sometimes our Christian experiences like that where, okay, we know that this is what God wants us to do. And begrudgingly, we kind of just go ahead and do it. Ah, it's time for a tithe and offering. Ah, all right, whatever. Oh, what do I got? $2. Ah, I'll give it $2. And so we do this, right, because we know it's good, although deep down inside our heart, we don't necessarily want to do it. Well, what Jesus is saying here and what the Bible is saying is that's not really Christianity. What I want to do is change your heart so that way you actually want to do these things. Notice in some of the past we looked at, these were natural things that were just proceeding out of people's hearts. Naturally. I mean, they honestly loved to actually spend time with each other. They loved to eat lunch with one another versus eating lunch by themselves in the corner. They love these different things. And so God wants to do that in our hearts individually so that we can come together collectively to do a great and mighty work. Does that make sense? All right, so what we really need here is we really, really need the Holy Spirit. Can everyone see that? That's what we need here at this church. And that's what we need individually. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just going to not be interested in these things. And we're just going to not be interested in doing the things of God. And so in that situation, we either are going to not do it, which is what it is, or we're going to do it, but we're going to do it begrudgingly. And it's going to be a burden for us. And we're going to end up becoming like a lot of these people in the Bible that we see that are, you know, the term that they use in the Bible often was Pharisees for these people that lived during the time of Jesus. And so these people knew the Bible. They actually knew what they should do. But deep down inside, they didn't really care to do it. And so it was just a mechanical, burdensome thing that they were doing. And then they were trying to get other people to do the same thing. And it wasn't that great of a Christian experience. And so God doesn't want us to have that. He wants us to have something much deeper. But we need the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be spending some time on today. Later, after lunch, we're going to spend some time praying for a lot of different things. But one of the things that we're going to spend some time praying for is the Holy Spirit to come out. Now, I'm excited because I've already seen the Holy Spirit at work here in this church. That model church that we saw, there's fruits of that stuff already starting to happen. There's plants in that area, in that realm that are already starting to grow. So I'm going to share a few testimonies just of some people in this church that are embodying a little bit of that already. And we're seeing this stuff, and it's exciting. So for instance, you know, we have Cheryl, and we have Joel, and we have Mercy here. And how are they here, right? Because, you know, they're not paying for rent or this or that. And so the reality is this was something that we were praying for as a church for a little bit. But what we praise God because there's been a number of people that have opened up their houses for them to stay. So for instance, Cheryl and Mercy are staying at our pastor's house. What are you guys? You guys are staying in one of the bedrooms over there, right? So they've opened up their house for them. Joel is actually staying with Steve and Mary right there and Thomas and Peter. And so they've opened up their house. And, you know, actually there's another girl that's going to be coming here very soon, Jenny. She's opened up her house. We even have Chris here right now too. He's staying with DeLon in his room. And so there's a lot of this stuff that's actually happening where, yeah, you start to see this Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4 stuff blossoming, starting. It's really, really exciting. Cars was an issue. You know, we just didn't have any cars. And so what happened was there's a girl named Jenny that's going to be here in a little bit, and she wasn't going to have a car to drive around. But we praise God. Bethany and Gil, they've actually offered one of their cars for her to drive. So she's now going to be able to come here and drive that car around to do Bible studies with people in the community. And on top of that, Bud, right after that, actually also offered one of his cars that he has. And now we have two cars. And so now with the second car, we're planning to use that for the ministry as well at the college. And we're going to plan to be using that for the smoothie farmers market sharing and everything like that as well. And so I've already seen
this kind of thing happening at the church. And so that's why I'm super thrilled and super excited about it. But what could God do if we actually had more of His Holy Spirit here? Have you ever imagined that? There's really amazing things that can actually happen when the Holy Spirit comes down. So first thing that I want to say here is we need the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be praying for the Holy Spirit quite a bit here over the next few weeks, especially as we lead into some of these Bible studies that are going to be generated and that are going to be started by Cheryl and Mercy and Joel and Jenny once she comes here. There's already other studies and there's already other prayer events that are going on in the area. And so we encourage you to plug into those as well. But there's going to be a big series of presentations that are going to be happening here end of February, beginning of March. And that's going to be a time when I really believe there's going to be a lot of people that are going to make decisions to serve God fully. And that's going to lead to a lot of new growth and new excitement that's going to be happening here at Alameda. So I'm excited about what's happening there. We want everyone's involvement. But what we see here is we really, really need the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to spend some time today, later, praying for the Holy Spirit. So that's one thing. Okay, the second thing now that we're going to find is that we need to have an experience individually with somebody special. So turn with me to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to take a look at something that happens that is going to need to happen to each of us before we're going to actually be able to be used by God to do something great, and before we're going to be able to be used by God to actually reach others. All right, so we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, and we're going to see this here, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to do one other thing, we're going to be done. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 8. Okay, so this is Peter now. We're gonna set some context. So Peter and John and James, these guys have been preaching and teaching and doing these different things, doing miracles in Jerusalem. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, people are giving their lives to Christ, and the Jewish religious leaders are not liking this at all. And they're starting to conspire around getting rid of them, throwing them in prison, beating them, things like this. And so in response, we actually see a little story here about Peter. So we're looking at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Look at what it says. Then Peter, what does it say about Peter? It describes him. Filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So at this point, Peter's already filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why, again, we need that. Look at what he does. He said unto them, "You rulers of the people and you elders of Israel," and he keeps preaching. I'm not going to read the rest of it for the sake of time, but he preaches to them a sermon. He preaches to the religious leaders a sermon. And now if you skip down to verse 13, look at what happens. In verse 13, after the sermon was preached, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Okay, let's look at that a little bit. So Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's preaching, and now they're looking at him and they're thinking, wow, these guys are bold. These guys are bold, but they're also uneducated people. We know them. They did not go to our schools. These people didn't even graduate high school. They dropped out when they're in sixth grade. These guys are losers. And they're not learned people. They didn't even have a middle school degree. They didn't even graduate from eighth grade. They don't have anything. So that's what they're thinking. And they're like, how are they so bold? And how are they so eloquent? And what is the conclusion that they had about them in verse 13? Like, what was their conclusion in terms of how they could be so ignorant and how they could be so unlearned, but at the same time so bold and so eloquent and strong? They had been with Jesus. Do you all see that? So they look at them and they realize, wow, they must have had an experience with Jesus. They must have had an experience with Jesus, because that's the only thing that could have happened that could lead them to go out and to do these things in this way. They must have had an experience with Jesus. Skip down with me to verse 20. This is a quick verse. Verse 20 says this. And here is them speaking now. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they have had an experience. They've seen things. They've heard things. They've been with Jesus. And as a result of that, it led them to prayer. And it led them to now receiving the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, which led them to go out with boldness to preach, to heal, to do the gospel work. Can everyone see that? So this experience with Jesus is key. We all must individually have an experience with Jesus. If we don't have an experience with Jesus,
Nothing else is going to actually come of it. Nothing else is going to happen from our lives if we don't have that experience with Jesus. We must see him. We must hear him. We must spend time in his word and through prayer. And we must actually invite him to come in. And as that happens, we will have this experience with Jesus. And it's going to actually lead to all sorts of things that are going to naturally progress out. Amen. Often as Christians, if you're anything like me, often you'll just sit there and you'll look at the actions and the results that you want to see in your life. And you'll say, man, you know, I really wish I ate better. I really wish that I treated my family better. I really wish that I was more patient. I really wish that I was able to say nicer things. I really wish that I was a harder worker. I really wish that I was more faithful and giving. I really wish that I was more loving and caring. And so we focus on these fruits, and we focus on these actions a lot, and then we say, okay, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do this. And so in the business world, there's a lot of these self-help books out there, and they have a lot of really great principles. But often what they do is they focus on just do it. Has anyone ever heard that phrase? I'm sure you've heard of it. It's Nike's tagline, right? Just do it. Just close the mouth and just do it. Just do it. And so that's a lot of how we think of things sometimes. But the Bible is teaching us something different. It's saying, no, don't just do it because you're going to fail. Because naturally, our hearts are wicked and evil, and we love selfish things. What we need to do is we need to have an experience with Jesus. Once we have an experience with Jesus, it's just going to be done automatically. And so that's really what Christianity is about. It's about this experience with Jesus. And some of you have had these experiences with Jesus, and some of you have had them, and that's led you to go out and to spread the gospel, or to go out and help others, or to do whatever it is that God is doing in your life. Some of you have had those experiences, and you've fallen away from that, and you need a new experience with Jesus. Some of you are having that experience continue with Jesus, but you can have even a deeper experience with Jesus. We all can use more experiences with Jesus. And so that's what we see here in the book of Acts. Okay, turn with me to John chapter 1 really quickly. We're getting ready to end here, John chapter 1. And we're actually going to see here how even brief experience with Jesus, as long as it's a genuine experience with Jesus, is going to lead to a natural spilling over of wanting to share with others. And so we're talking about an experience with Jesus. And we're looking at John chapter 1. And now look at verse 37 with me. John chapter 1, verse 37. John is right before the book of Acts. Watch what happens here. So Jesus is just going around now, and he's about 30 years old, and he's starting to become a little bit more public. And John the Baptist is there. They're meeting. John the Baptist is telling his followers about Jesus. And look at actually what happens here. John chapter 1, verse 37. And two of the disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Master, where do you dwell?" Like, where's your house at? Where are you staying? And he says to them, "Come and see." So they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. And we're going to keep reading. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He finds his own brother, Simon, and says to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And verse 42 is key. And he brought him to Jesus. So what happened here, right? These two guys were there. They saw Jesus. And they said, "Hey, where are you staying?" And Jesus is like, "Well, you want to come over? Do you want to come over? You can if you want." And so they say, "Sure." So they come over. They have this experience with Jesus. And then what followed this experience with Jesus? What did they do? What did he do after he followed Jesus and spent time with him? I'm looking at this guy named Andrew. So we have an Andrew over here. There he is. So here's another Andrew over here. And so this Andrew is the brother of Peter, okay? And so when Andrew spent time with Jesus, what did he do right after that, after he had that experience with Jesus? What did he do according to verse 41 and 42? He shared, right? And who did he share it with? Yeah, someone closest to him, right? His brother, Simon, or Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. That's where Peter came from. So we all know about Peter. Peter's famous. He's the one that denied Christ 3 times, and he's the one that always ran his mouth. He's the one in the book of Acts that started the early church, as was one of the main leaders, etc., etc., etc. We know about Peter. Peter came from Andrew. And what Andrew did is he actually investigated Jesus a little bit. He heard a little bit about him. Not a lot. He knew a little bit about him, not too much. And Jesus is like, "Do you want to spend some more time with me today? A little bit, maybe a few hours, and get to know me a little bit?" And Andrew says, "Yeah, I'll spend a few hours. Let's see, why not? Might as well. Might as well." We actually have a phrase. DeLon came up with this phrase with the fruit tree. And so what happens is, you know, you're out there in a farmer's market, and you're sharing smoothies with people. And so you say something like, "Would you like to try a sample of an organic green smoothie?" And then what he'll say is, he'll say, might as well. And so people are walking by, and they're like, oh, no, I'm good. And he's like, might as well. And they're like, nah, I'll travel, might as well. And so a lot of people will try because of that and buy it and have the benefits because of that. So Jesus is saying to Andrew, do you want to come over? And Andrew's like, I don't know. And Jesus is like, might as well. Why not? What are you doing for 2 hours this afternoon? You might as well. So Andrew comes over. He spends a few hours with Jesus. And now he's had that experience with Jesus, and he just has to go share. So he goes and he finds his brother, and he tells him, and he brings his brother to Jesus. Literally, that's what we see Andrew doing. We can see that really clearly right here. Skip down with me to verse 43. This is not the only experience that we see here. Look at verse 43. There's someone else that has an experience. The following day, Jesus went forth to Galilee, and he finds Philip, and he says to him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, we've found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing that will come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. All right, so what's going on here? So Philip now kind of has a little bit of running with Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. So he follows him. He now has an experience with Jesus. And he goes and he calls this guy Nathanael. And he says, Nathanael, you should come check it out. Now, is Nathanael excited about meeting Jesus, or is he skeptical? What do you think? Skeptical. He's a little skeptical, right? Because he says in verse 46, can there be any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? That's, you know, a pretty skeptical statement. I mean, in today's society, it might be like, hey, we met this guy. You know, he actually is from the prison or whatever, you know, he's from this ghetto area or whatever it might be. And you might be thinking, can any good thing come out of that area? I mean, nothing good comes out of that area. And so instead of getting into it with them, he just says, just come and see. And so he invites them. And then we know the story. These guys become some of the early disciples, and then the gospel starts to go out. And so these people are having experiences with Jesus, and these experiences with Jesus are leading to them inviting family, friends, and otherwise. And so for us, what we see clearly so far is there's really two things that are key. We must have this experience with Jesus. We must have an individual experience with Jesus. And collectively, we must pray and we must ask for the Holy Spirit, because that's the only thing that's going to change our heart and desires and give us power to go forth. Can everyone see that? If you see that, say amen with me. Amen. 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 Okay, so now as this stuff is happening, now before we end here, as we end, I want to do one thing, because the church now is becoming organized. The church now is coming together. And people are being called and set apart to go and do a great and mighty work. And one of the things that we're going to see here is that there is an activity that takes place, especially as people are commissioned to go out and to spread the gospel in more of a formalized role, in a bigger role. Okay, and we actually have some individuals here today that have actually been brought here for the next few months to be commissioned to go and spread the gospel in this community of Alameda. And so turn with me to the book of Acts. We're just going to look at a couple of quick passages in the book of Acts. And then we're going to actually act on these passages together here. And then we're going to end. Okay? Is that fair? So Acts chapter 6. Now Acts chapter 6 is talking about the church is growing in size now. And they needed to have people that would take care of a lot of the activities that weren't necessarily just spreading the gospel through the word of God with Bible studies, preaching, or prayer. They needed people to take care of giving and collecting donations and different things like this. And so they set up deacons of the church to do this very work. And that's really the deacon position at its core. Now, Acts chapter 6, if you look at verse 5 with me, look at what happens here. So they set these deacons up. And verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Again, everybody's full of the Holy Ghost. And Philip and somebody else, and Nicanor and Timon and Parsimus and Nicholas and all these people. And they set them before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, etc., etc. And so we see here, not only is there prayer, but when there are people that are chosen and set aside for a specific work, there's a laying on of hands and there's prayer over them. Do we see that? We see it. Okay, turn with me to Acts chapter 13 really quickly. And we're just going to look at one or two more things quickly, and then we'll be praying for Mercy, Cheryl, and Joel here. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 now is talking about Saul, who became Paul, and Barnabas. And these two now have been set aside and commissioned now to go out and to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. Okay? And today we're actually going to be setting aside Mercy, Cheryl, and Joel
to be commissioned to go out and take this gospel essentially full-time right here to Alameda. And so we're really excited about that. So Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, follow with me. The Bible says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said," wow, the Holy Ghost is actually speaking directly to them all. "The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So we see a pattern of laying on of hands. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, it talks about the foundational principles of Christianity. And it mentions things like forgiveness of sins and things like baptism and things like what happens after you die. And it also mentions laying on of hands. And so this is a foundational thing as people are called and set aside for a specific work. And so just to summarize what we've seen so far, we must have this experience with Jesus individually. You must have an experience with Jesus individually. Now, how do you know if you've had an experience with Jesus individually? Does anybody know? Well, in the book of Matthew, there's a phrase that's used, and it says, "By your fruit ye shall know them." And so if you've had an experience with Jesus, what should be seen is a similar pattern to what we see in the book of John and the book of Acts, where people have had these experiences and it naturally prompts them and leads them to give of their time and of their skill and of their money and to actually share with others selflessly the gospel or other things of need. Those things kind of naturally start to spill over. And so you might want to ask yourself, is that naturally happening in my life right now on a daily basis? And if the answer is yes, then praise God and ask for a continued experience of Jesus in your life. If not, or maybe it's happened in the past, but it hasn't recently. Today is the day, and now is the time to pray and to ask God, "God, I want to have an experience with Jesus like I used to have. Or I've never had an experience with Jesus, and I want to have one. I want that experience right now." And God is faithful, because this is a prayer he will answer, guaranteed, because this is his will. His will is that we all have these experiences with Jesus. We're told very clearly that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And this experience with Jesus that we need to have is core to that. So today, we want to pray for that. And I want to invite anybody that hasn't had that experience to ask God to give them that experience. Ask Jesus into your life. Also, we need to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit, especially as a body here, so that we can actually be prompted to go out and do the work. And lastly, and this is what we're going to do right now, we want to lay on hands of those that have been called and commissioned for a specific work. Okay? So I want to call up here Mercy, Cheryl, and Joel, if you can come to the front. And then if anybody else wants to come to the front, if you're a board member of this church or a leader of this church, or you know, if you feel called to come forward to participate in laying on of hands of Mercy, Cheryl, and Joel, so that we can pray for them and so that we can actually commission them in this work that they're going to be going on in the next few months. So I'm invite others at this time. If you're a leader of this church, or if you feel called, as you feel called, if you've done ministry and you're a preacher of the word, etc., if you feel called, please come forth. And let's lay on of hands Mercy, Cheryl. I keep mixing Mercy and Mercy. Mercy, Cheryl, and Joel. That's going to... Okay, I'm going to need to separate. Mercy, Joel, and Cheryl. Let me try that. That'll help. Let's lay on hands with them and let's pray for them. So now what are we praying for? What we're doing right now is we're actually praying for God specifically to come in their lives, for the Holy Spirit to come down specifically to give them power and might as they go forth in this role that God has commissioned them to do. Now, specifically for the next 2 months or so, they're going to be here in Alameda doing work in the community. And so right now we're going to be praying for the Holy Spirit to come down on them and to be coming down in power and might in a special way on them. All right, so let's do that. So let's lay our hands on and we can all pray for them. Pray for them. And so, Steve, if you want to maybe pray first, and then if any of you all want to pray, you can, and then I'll pray to close.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to ask you to send your Holy Spirit to guide our church, guide the leadership, specifically guide these three people here, that your work will be done, that your name will be lifted up, and that your gospel will be preached, not just the world, but Alameda.
Amen.
See your hand working here in Alameda. Help us all to work together and back up these young people, Lord, that they can go out We pray that your Holy Spirit will go before them to touch hearts and to guide them to the people that need to hear your word, need the invitation. Lord, let us not lack to tell people about you soon coming, and that they need to, we all need to be prepared, Lord, to prepare our hearts, to allow your Holy Spirit to be poured on us so we can be like when you call your disciples, Lord. You call us today. Help us not to lag behind and to go out and do the task you have for us to do. So when you come, we can hear those words, Lord. Faithful servant. We'd like to hear those. We'd like to tell people, Lord, send your Holy Spirit and guide us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dear Father, Lord, please continue to guide them, Lord. But especially protect them as they go from home to home. Keep them strong, focused, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Father in heaven, again, we thank you for these young people. We thank you for the way that the Holy Spirit's been working in this church. And we pray for them as they go out and about in the community. Lord, protect them and may they plant many seeds, and may there be a great harvest, Lord, that will happen. It's sometime in the near future with you coming back. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Father God in heaven, I just really thank you so much for bringing Joel, Mercy, and Cheryl here, Father. And we just really praise you for clearly working in this, Father, for everything that came together for them to be here. And I just want to affirm the prayers that have been prayed for them, Father, and just ask you for an amazing pouring out of your Holy Spirit on all three of them individually and collectively, Father, that they might go to this community here, Father, and represent Christ in a personal way, Father, with everybody they come in contact with. That through those interactions, Father, souls might be interested in learning more about you, that they might be able to help the community, Father, that they might be able to share the gospel with them, and that through these interactions, decisions would be made for you, Father. I really just pray, Father, that just as the apostles went out in the book of Acts, Father, and just as Jesus' disciples went out throughout the gospels, Father, that they would be able to go out in this community doing great and mighty things, Father, that miracles would happen as well. And so please pour your spirit out, Father. We claim your promises in the word for this, and we just thank you so much for being a God that answers these types of prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. Thank you, leaders, as well. And so we're so excited for them. They're commissioned. They're going to be going out, and here's the great thing. They're going to be asking us to come with them. So as they do Bible studies in the community, those Bible studies are open for us to go out as well. And we're also going to be having another Bible worker come here in about 10 days as well. And as she goes out, she's also inviting us to come out with her as well. So as it fits in our schedule, we can go out with them. And on Saturday afternoons, there's going to be a lot of activity here. Okay, so as we end, I want to also close with prayer, but I want to do one invitation. Is there anybody here that wants to have an experience with Jesus in a special way? Maybe you've had it in the past, but you need another experience with him recently. Or maybe you've never had an experience with Jesus, as we've seen, and you want to have that experience with Jesus. Is there anybody here that would be interested in special prayer right now for having that experience with Jesus? Amen. I see a hand in the back. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else that would want to have a special prayer for them, and a prayer that they might have this experience with Jesus in a special way? Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Amen. Amen. So I see two hands in the back. And I will pray for both of you specifically here right now. And also, I will pray for everybody else that we might renew our experience with Jesus and we might have a fresh experience with him that would prompt us to go out. And again, as we end here, remember we have lunch upstairs. And then after that, we're going to be praying for this church, for the Holy Spirit in a special way. So please join with me as we say one last prayer as we get ready to end. Let us pray.
Father in heaven, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives, Father. I thank you for coming into my life, Father, in the past and for giving me an experience, Father. And I ask for a new experience, Father, with Jesus today. And I really ask for a special way, Father, that Anna and Delia would have a special experience with you just as they want, Father. That's all that you want from us. You just want a willingness, Father. That's all you require. You just want us to be interested in you coming into our lives, Father. So I pray in a special way that you do that in both of their lives today, again, Father. And for the rest of us, Father, that maybe have had experience with you or maybe are not sure yet about that, I just pray that you send your Spirit to us, Father, and that you really continue to knock on our doors, Father, that you continue to fill us with your Spirit and to do great and amazing things, Father. And so I really thank you for these promises, and I thank you for answering these prayers. And I also pray that you continue to be with us today as we go forth, we have lunch, Father, and especially after that as we pray, especially for this church, Father, for the Holy Spirit to come down on this church, Father, I pray that you answer those prayers and that you use Alameda to do amazing things in this area, Father. May this become a blueprint, Father, for other churches worldwide even, Father, of what can be done when your Spirit is poured out. And we just really want to be that, Father. That's really what we want. We want you to do it, whatever you want to do, Father. Not our will, Father, but your will. Just as Jesus prayed, Father, we want to pray like that. Not what we desire, Father, but what you desire. Do great and mighty things here according to your will. And use us as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to invite our song team to come forward for one last song. We're going to have our closing hymn. So please stand and turn with us to hymn 626. We're going to sing, "In a Little While We're Going Home." In a little while, we're going home. Whoops.